Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Face Turn Podcast here on the Sports Insanity Network. I am Noah Trombley, joined as always by Lawrence Patchman Lang and Mike the Pun Master Rifkid. Gentlemen, it's been a while, but how are we doing?
We're good, man. We're the crown jewels of this network.
Oh, he's already starting with it.
He's already starting with
the puns.
The puns. And let's see if he has the jewels to bring some more.
We will see. So tonight we are going to run through the latest WWE pay-per-view that occurred, and that was Crown Jewel. We are recording this on Friday, the 22nd of October, and this occurred on the 21st of October. This was their latest Saudi Arabia show. And just really quickly, guys, just as a quick overall thought, I think without a doubt, this is the best Saudi show.
Yeah. We were also talking before we started recording that we felt it was the best pay-per-view of the whole year.
All right. But as Noah contemplates the idea of this being pay-per-view of the year, if you really look throughout the rest of the pay-per-views throughout the year, the first half of the year, we had the WWE Universe and the WWE Thunderdome. Yes, mm-hmm. We had a crowd for Mania. But other than that, we were stuck in this rut where it was the Thunderdome, and then just recently we got crowds back for live shows and pay-per-views.
I would argue this. I would say WrestleMania Night 1 was their best. Like, I know that's not the whole pay-per-view, but I would say that one night, if you want to say a night of wrestling as a pay-per-view, I would say that night was the best. Like, that card top to bottom was, like, absolutely phenomenal. But it's up there. I'll say Crown Jewel is up there. So we're going
to – oh, go ahead, Mike. Just to Patch's point, the live crowd for everything has been awesome. I don't care what sport it is, what event it is.
And I will give this. I know the Saudi shows are very, very controversial, and we could be in a whole hour-long conversation of why they're controversial. But I will give it this. The crowds for the Saudi shows, you can't deny, they are energetic. They pop for everything.
They can care less what's being put out. They're just happy to be there in attendance and see the WWE there put on a show for them.
Right. And don't get me wrong. Like I said, it's a very controversial show. Should they be doing it? Probably not. But at least the crowd is lively during the whole show. But let's run through the show, guys. A lot of matches to get through. This card was actually pretty stacked. Pretty, you know, stuff full of matches here. You know, we had the King of the Ring finals. We had the Queen's Crown finals. We'll get into those in a little bit. But we start off with the pre-show as the Usos defend their SmackDown Tag Team Championships against the Hurt. Oh, no, wait. Was it for the titles?
It was against the Hurt Business.
Was it for the titles or no?
It was not for the titles.
It was not for the titles. Okay, so we had the Usos versus the Hurt Business to start off the show. Mike, what are your thoughts on Usos Hurt Business?
Okay, first things first, if you're going to put the match on the show, don't tell us right before the show starts that this match is happening.
Exactly.
Like, that's my first thought of it, because otherwise, why would I watch the pre-show anyway? Mm-hmm. And you just throw a random tag team match. It's a good match. I'm happy the Hurt Business is back together. And the Usos are the best tag team that WWE has, which is going to lead into a conversation we have, not tonight, but later down the road, something they have to work on. But it was a good match between four really good workers.
Yeah, definitely. Patchy, what about you?
Yeah, you know, for a pre-show match, as they say in the wrestling business, they get their spots in. They know what, the Usos get the super kicks in. Her Business does the heel. I would guess the heelish stuff in this situation. Do we make the Usos the face?
Because this is just. It was really kind of heel versus heel.
So we really don't get a heel versus heel situation that much anymore. So it's interesting that, you know, both teams get their heelish spots in, I guess we'll go.
Yeah.
I'm not that I'm sick of the Usos, but it would have been a curveball to say the least, if the Hurt Business won in this situation, give the Hurt Business a win. So, but hey.
I wouldn't say I'm sick of the Usos in this match, Patchy, but there is a certain match later on that I am sick of them in.
We'll get to that. But you know, I'm not saying I'm sick of the Usos. I'm just kind of sick of them winning all the time.
Yeah, I do definitely agree with that. And I'll
go real quick. If they lose Hurt Business, it doesn't hurt them as a tag team. But like, let's say they lose to Humberto Carrillo and
Angel Garza,
then it hurts them.
Yeah. So like Mike hinted at it earlier, we'll talk a lot more about these issues later on. We have a big episode planned for that in a few days, so keep paying attention to that. But like tonight, we're just going to focus on Crown Jewel itself. But yeah, no, Usos versus Hurt Business, it's a classic opener. It's just, you get the spots in, you get the crowd pumped up. That's just what these matches are. You know, they're not going to blow you away. Nothing really has since like the New Day and Usos were doing it back in like 2017. Mike, to your point, I would say the Usos are, this one, I think the Usos are the greatest tag team ever. WWE. I think WWE wise.
I think really, if you're going from like 2010 to now, sure. But that, I think two things that I would say hurt them. One is the competition hasn't been like what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But like, all due respect, I know they fought the Wyatt family and them and the New Day, that'll go down as a classic rivalry. But it's not like, you know, they didn't face the prime Dudleys. You know, when it was the Dudleys, Edge and Christian, the Hardys. I don't think they're on those teams' level. I don't think they're on the level of, really going old school, the Legion of Doom. I don't even know if they're on the same level as the New Age Outlaws, to be honest with you. It's not that I hate the Usos. They're a great tag team. But I think the standard of competition in the tag division is just not there. And outside of them and New Day, who've controlled the tag division for like the last 6 years or so, maybe more. But like, we'll get to the Raw tag title match in a little bit, but what is it? What is the WWE tag team division look
like? And not to go off on too much of a tangent right now, and that sucks though because of the level of competition, because that's not their fault. Mm-hmm. Like, they should be mixing it up with like amazing tag teams right now. Like, you put them back with Edge and Christian, the Dudley Boys, like, they're tearing it up.
I'm going to say something that's probably shouldn't be said. If I'm going to call them what they were in WWE, if the Revival were never released, the Revival and the Usos could have been awesome.
Oh, God, yeah. I'd love that match. So, all right. So let's save a lot of stuff for the big show we have. I give this match 3 stars out of 5. It was a basic opener. I mean, a lot of these matches are not going to be super high because what are these pay-per-views? This was a good show, but it's a glorified house show. That's what these things are. So I give this match 3 out of 5. It was good match, above average, but not much more than that. Mike?
I'll go 3.
Patchy?
Yeah, you know, for what it is, as we'll go a setup pay-per-view for Survivor Series, and more on Survivor Series in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
3 stars.
Yeah. All right. We get to the opening match of the proper show, which was very surprising to me. We start off with Edge versus Seth Rollins inside Hell in a Cell. I'm going to go first on this because I want to talk about this match. This match surprised me a lot. I really, really enjoyed this match. It was so different because we've gotten so used to Hell in a Cell matches being so bad recently. Obviously, you had Seth versus The Fiend. You had Roman versus Braun. You had, you know, just these terrible Hell in a Cell matches recently. And this one was just exactly what it needed to be. It was the end of a feud. These two want to kill each other. So throw them in Hell in a Cell. Go until one of you basically dies. That's what we're doing. Go until one of you can no longer stand. And that's what happened. And it wasn't bloody. It wasn't, you know, like that kind of violence. It was inventive, though. You had the awesome moment of Seth getting thrown into the cell off the top rope, immediately crashing through a table, after he hits the cell. You had the sunset.
My favorite spot of the match.
Well, my favorite was the sunset flip off the top of the ladder through the table to from Seth Rollins to Edge. And I think what really held this matchup for me was the poetic justice at the end of Edge hitting a curb stomp on Seth onto a chair to end the match. Poetic justice in its purest form. Also, by the way, the chain wrapped super kick looked really gnarly. That must have not been fun to take, but I give this match 4.5 out of 5. I thought it was a really good Hell in a Cell match. It was a great end of their feud. I can't wait to see where both these guys go, because I know they're both going to be on Raw. And please don't let this feud continue. This has to be the end. This has to be an end. And like I said, this was, if they end it here, it's perfect. It's a perfect feud. You had the first match at SummerSlam. You had the rubber match on SmackDown that ended in like a no contest sort of thing. And you have the big blow off here at Hell in a Cell. Please let this be the end. 4 out of 5. Loved it. Mike?
I've got bad news for you. It's not going to be the end.
It's probably not, but.
You know how this is going to play out, because this is how the fortunes go. They're going to both be on Team Raw at Survivor Series. And one of them is going to cost the other one to get eliminated.
Oh, you're so right.
And it's going to continue. And it's going to go all the way to Mania. Where at Mania, it'll be Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch versus Edge and Beth Phoenix.
Why do you hate everything good, Mike?
Because I like to all have right. fun.
Let's get back to the Hell in a Cell match. What do you think of this match?
It was the best modern Hell in a Cell match.
Oh.
It's probably the best one since Taker and Triple H.
Really? You think better than Bailey, Bailey Sasha?
It's right up there with the two. Okay. Those are probably the two best modern ones. It was finally a Hell in a Cell match that was just was what it had to be. The Hell in a Cell was perfect for this. This is why we escalate feuds. Hell in a Cell is still a terrible name for a pay-per-view, and you should never do it again, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Really quick, Mike, that was a big thing for me, too. It came out of nowhere. It wasn't like, and we have to have a Hell in a Cell match. It's warranted.
Right. That's what makes Hell in a Cell special. And you're right with the super kick, with the chain. You were right with the submission where Edge has the little pipe bar thingy.
Oh, he has a wrench.
Whatever it was, it was awesome. And I don't care what anyone says. I know Rollins is tremendous and everyone likes him. Seeing Edge back in a ring after we thought we would never see him again is honestly one of the reasons to currently watch the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
Because his Friday Night SmackDown promo last week was tremendous. Awesome rivalry. I'm with you. Let it end. I'm going to go 5 stars. I loved it.
Interesting.
It was the right way to do Hell in a Cell.
Patchy?
Yeah, you know, I want to go 4.5 stars out of 5 for the match. But you're right. It warranted a Hell in a Cell match. You know what? Sometimes you got to throw the curveball out there again and say, hey, you know what? Let's give the audience, everyone's going, oh, Edge and Christian, it's going to be a no DQ. Oh, maybe an I Quit match, which would be kind of cool too, on a different note. But, you know, Edge just comes out, Hell in a Cell. I'm like, you have my attention now.
Yeah, I was surprised with this.
No one expected it. I agree with Rifkin, you know, get rid of the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. I say do away with the Hell in a Cell match for 2 to 3 years, and then you bring it back, and then that's how you're going to get a reaction out of people when you mention the name Hell in a Cell. Same thing with Elimination Chamber, but different story for a different day. Overall, great storytelling. You know, everyone thinks, you know, Rollins is going to finally end Edge, put Edge out of misery for the rest of his life, put him in a wheelchair. No, Edge gets poetic justice. So, great storytelling once again. Love the spot where Rollins goes off the cell and then crashes through a table.
So perfect.
It was awesome, perfect. And then, you know, Edge bringing in the TLC elements. awesome as well, because somehow Ladder now gets involved in the TLC in a Hell in a Cell match, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that, but then again, who am I to say? Once again, overall 4.5 stars. Enjoyed the match. Surprised it was the opening match on the main card. I figured Queen's Crown would have been the opener.
Yeah, I was surprised by this being the opener.
But you know what? I guess they went the route of get the crowd hyped up early.
Mm-hmm. They really they did. And they sure also, did.
Also probably helps that they just had to bring the Cell down earlier and not later in the show.
Probably. That probably helped a lot. And please, just a minute, I know this is for safety purposes, but can you please try to go back to the chain link? This red thing looks really weird.
You know what? If anything, spray paint the thing silver.
Exactly. Like, make it at least look like a cage, because it just looks really weird with this red. I know it's for, because there's like rubber on it now for like them to be a little safer with taking the bumps on it. But like, just try something. The red just looks really hokey. It looks really like a gimmick. It really looks like a gimmick.
Hey, there was no red light at least.
Thank Christ.
Well, that was busy at the red light district.
Moving on.
Oh, wait. One last thing. That was the 50th Hell in a Cell match I read.
Was it really?
Wow.
That's what I read online.
What a fitting one to have as your 50th. It really went back to the...
Yep, it was the 50th.
It's just great to see them actually do a modern Hell in a Cell match and not need to go to like the blood and the gore and all that kind of stuff. It's nice to see that. But still,
you just want the physicality. You don't need the blood.
Right. You need the blood. Yeah. All right. Moving on to our next match, we had the hometown boy Mansoor take on Mustafa Ali. Obviously, Mansoor was a huge fan favorite coming into this match. Patchy, what'd you think?
You know, for what it is, you know, you give the hometown kid a win. Just for, once again, poetic justice, I guess we'll go. Also, you know, it kind of helps the feud between the two, because they're going back and forth. You know, they were a tag team, then they broke up. Mustafa Ali beats the snot out of Mansoor, and then Mansoor gets revenge in his home country as a babyface. And then, you know what? It just keeps building up Mansoor for, you know, to be this, what's the word I'm looking for? Not celebrity, but... role model. There we go. That's what I'm for. Role model for the people of Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
So for what it is, 3 stars.
Yeah, I give it 3 stars as well. It was a basic house show match. You know, Mansoor is definitely getting better than what he was, say, a couple of years ago. Because like a couple of years ago when they started doing these shows, like his matches were rough. They were a little hard to get through. They were pretty botchy in places. He's definitely getting better. He's definitely putting a little more muscle mass on it. I think he's definitely getting more athletic in terms of what he can do in the ring. So, yeah, it was a 3-star match. Mustafa Ali can really go with anybody. He can really make anybody look good. Yeah, other than that, nothing really bad to say about this match. Nothing really – like, this isn't going to blow everybody away. This was just, you know, your basic – this could have easily been on a Raw. You know, that's what it really was. So I gave it 3 stars as well. Mike?
This is gonna sound mean. I don't care, but like, you're right. It's a glorified house show match in the sense of, I don't think they're gonna do anything with either one of these guys. And
you know for a fact they only brought Mansoor out just for the hometown crowd.
If you were gonna do this, and Mansoor was coming in. You could have just left him and Ali as a tag team, and they could have fought RK-Bro for the tag titles. They would have lost, more likely than not, but still, that would have been cool. But unless you're going to do something with these guys, which obviously you're not going to do anything with Mustafa Ali, just based on what you've done with him in the past, which I actually feel really bad for the guy, because he can go with anybody. He's immensely talented. And you've kind of just, I don't want to say you've ruined him, but you make people not care. And that's just not the way it should be. But decent match. I'll go 3 stars.
You know what Ali needs?
Retribution?
Yep.
We knew it. Knew where you were going.
Listen, in all honesty, if that had worked, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Probably not. Because it could have worked. It really could have.
Yeah, just don't pick out stupid names like Mason T-Bar.
No, Slapjack.
Slapjack.
Freaking Slapjack. Reckoning.
Oh, what? I'm Mace. I carry Mace. I'm going to mace you in the face.
All right, let's not get into a whole retribution rant because we've already ranted about that enough. All right, up next we have for the Raw Tag Team Championships as RK-Bro defended against AJ Styles and Omos for like the 800th time.
Wait a second. It might be for the 800th time, but this was the first time a camel was involved.
Matt Riddle riding down the camel was the highlight of the night. Pulls a camel from the entranceway and rides down on it.
So we, in all the things that happened in the world, we saw a camel walk down a ramp to Randy Orton's theme song voices.
That's something you can say you've seen.
Oh my God. Remember I forgot which mania it was, but when he fought Bray Wyatt and the snake viper thing was going down.
Following him? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. How would the camel have reacted?
I would have freaked the hell out. All right. Mike, Raw Tag Title Match. RK-Bro retains against AJ Styles and Omos. What'd you think?
I mean, we've seen it. It was fine. This is where they screwed up the draft for me because.
Well, I would have just save that, Mike, because we'll talk about the draft on okay. Later on.
I'm done with AJ Styles and Omos being a tag team because I want AJ back in the whether it's the Please. World title or the U.S. title picture.
Please
move him back up.
Yeah,
because this is AJ freaking Styles. Now I'm also still counting down until Randy Orton turns on Matt Riddle, but that's a whole nother story. But bro, it was a good match. When you have three great workers, and Omos is getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Omos is getting there. I'll go 3.5 stars.
Archie?
Yeah, for what it was, 3.5 stars, you know. You can only watch RK-Bro and Styles and Omos so much before, you know, it just gets redundant and boring. But for what it was, it's a decent match. I'm just waiting for, you know, when they do it again, probably on Monday Night Raw or 2 Mondays from now. I just want to see Omos get RKO'd.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're building towards.
We need that to happen, and then we need Omos to no-sell and just get up. And then just pick Orton up and then just powerbomb him.
That'd be great.
It was, 3.5 stars.
Yeah, so I'm with you guys, 3.5. It was fine, but it's starting to wear a little thin because, like I said, this is like the 800th time they fought. I mean, like, not only that, we'll talk about this later on, but like, they've done, you know, Orton versus Styles, they've done Riddle versus Styles, they've done Orton versus Omos. Like, they do this all the time, and it's just really starting to wear thin when we get these tag matches. But yeah, for what it was fun. Riddle's great, Styles is phenomenal, pardon the pun. Orton's one of the best of all time, you know. It's
so at the time this recording, RK-Bro will battle AJ Styles and Omos in a WWE Crown Jewel WWE Raw Tag Team rematch as the new era begins this Monday. So we're already getting a rematch.
New era will
wait a second, wait a second, wait a second. We're getting another rematch of a rematch of another rematch. This is honestly, and this is gonna go into the other thing we'll talk about on another show. These are not two real tag teams. These were just guys thrown together.
Yep. And that's the big problem.
This is a massive issue.
Trust us, we'll get into it on the next show. The next show is going to be a big one, guys. So just giving you all
we're
your
already crowning it.
Yeah, all your fans out there, we're having a big show very, very soon. So watch out for that. So let's move on to the next match. We had the Queen's Crown final. Don't know why it wasn't called Queen of the Ring. Don't know why, but it's called Queen's Crown. As I don't know about you guys, but like I did when I saw the tournament bracket, I did not think this would be the final.
I didn't think the person who would won would actually advance past the first round.
Me either.
Although I have another thought, and we'll get to it in a minute.
So we had Doudrop versus Zelina Vega, with Zelina Vega eventually winning to become the first ever Queen's Crown winner. This match was I mean, Doudrop's fine. Zelina Vega is, she was never really known for her in-ring work. I don't really understand what the point of giving her this is. Like, what's the goal with this? Like, is she gonna challenge Charlotte or Becky for the titles? I don't think so. So I don't know. Unless there's a plan with this, I didn't like it. The match was eh. You know, Doudrop is not a, you know, she's good, but she's not like a carrier. Zelina Vega, like I said, she's not really known for her in-ring work. And again, I don't get the result. What's the plan with Zelina here? Is this just to simply capitalize off of her husband being great in AEW? Is that what this is all about?
I don't think so. I think they're just trying to see how, I guess, Zelina can go with this route, I guess, of a character route will go as the Queen's crown.
Just real quickly, I gave it 2.5 out of 5. It was an average match. It was purely average.
You know, I'm giving it 3 so on the sole purpose that Zelina Vega performed a Code Red on Doudrop.
That was impressive. I'll give her that. Patchy, you have anything more to say on the match?
Other than that, you know, it's a typical I don't want to use the wrong terminology here, then get heat for this, but it's the typical bigger person beating up the littler person, and then the littler person prevailing in the end for the win.
Mm-hmm. They've trademarked that style for sure. So, Mike, what about you?
I mean, I'm stunned by the result, because if you were going to... My thought was, if you're going this way, Doudrop has to win. Mainly because this is the next one you're building her up. I would have been okay if Doudrop had won. I'm not upset that Zelina won. I'm just curious, like you said, what do you do with her? Because she could fight, or she could wrestle Becky or Charlotte, whoever. She's not going to beat them. We know this company too well. They're not going to pull the upset already, because they already did that when they put the Rollins title on Nikki A.S.H.
Mm-hmm.
My original thought was they're going to really have Doudrop win this thing, and then Eva Marie's going to come out, and Eva Marie's going to become the Queen of the Ring somehow. That was really what I was thinking the whole time.
You still think her and Eva Marie are connected?
No, I'm just thinking even they're going to do something where she just takes credit for the success of Doudrop.
Mm.
And Doudrop just can't break away. My other beef with this is just the brackets itself. Like, we'll talk about King of the Ring and how great of a story that is. But if you think back to old King of the Ring, it was supposed to create a star kind of a deal. I don't know if this makes Zelina Vega a star.
Because here's the thing. My problem with this is the Queen's Crown felt like just such a thrown together thing. Just, we want to do Queen's Crown. All right, throw it together. Because look at the bracket. It was Zelina Vega, Carmella, Toni Storm, Eva Marie. Like, there was no really big stars.
Liv Morgan.
Like, if you had a final of Liv Morgan, Toni Storm, now I'm interested.
Again, you could have had Toni Storm come all the way.
Like,
and people would have gotten behind it.
Like you said, like, you're trying to build new stars. You have Toni Storm and Liv Morgan, two people who people have been behind for a while. Use them.
And there's other people, too, who we haven't mentioned who could have been. Natalya calls herself the Queen of Hearts. I don't even know if Natalya was in this tournament.
She was.
Okay. You could have had her go. Rhea Ripley.
I thought they were building up Shayna.
Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Nox. What happened to them?
Liv Morgan.
Or outside of the box thinking here. Raquel Gonzalez. I know she's the NXT Women's Champion, but you put her up on the main roster to decimate everyone and put Queen's Crown on her. She's a star already.
Or go with someone who, like, the gimmick would fit. Frankie Monet. The gimmick would fit her perfectly.
And I think you do yourself a disservice for two reasons. One, the triple threat match already eliminates three people.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I know she's the Raw Women's Champion, now the SmackDown. You could have put Charlotte in this, and I don't think people would have complained.
No, probably not.
You know? It's not like she had a women's title defense at the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were so many other ways. So it feels like to me with Zelina Vega, and this is not a knock, it's two things. I think you're both right. I think one, I think they want to capitalize, one, on the success of her husband in AEW, but also not wanting her to kind of request out.
Again.
And then she goes aligns with him and or whoever in AEW. I think they want no part of that. But listen, if you capitalize on it, it's great. If not, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But there's still so much hope for Doudrop, except for the name. Name is Doudrop.
What did you get the star rating, Mike?
Two and a half.
Okay. All right. Up next, we had the grudge match as Goldberg takes on Bobby Lashley in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Just before Patchy Elliott go, I'll say this. I think since Brock Lesnar, this has been Goldberg's best match.
Yeah, you know, I'm in agreement. This was probably Goldberg's best match since when he faced Brock Lesnar a couple Manias ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because we thou shall not speak of Goldberg and Taker.
Oh God, no! That match.
We're not speaking of that.
Not speaking of Goldberg versus Fiend.
We definitely not mentioning that one.
The McIntyre match is good.
McIntyre match was good, but that was just kind of short. It was just to the point. This one actually was a little longer than expected.
I also think we benefit as fans when for a title.
Yes, not for a title, I don't care about what Goldberg's doing. I'll take Goldberg if he's not fighting for a title.
I agree with that. You know, unless it's like a payoff where, you know, if it's Roman versus Goldberg and Roman just decimates Goldberg, then it's a different story. But in this situation, once again, you know what? For what it was, I actually enjoyed this because I watched this match in my lunch break when I was working. I was actually able to watch a little bit of the pay-per-view live. And you know what? It just had me interested the whole time. Because it had, you know, Bobby Lashley had a sneak attack weapon and just beats the tar out of Goldberg. And then, you know, Goldberg gets his offense in. And then the spot at the end made the match.
It did. That spear off the stage was really, I didn't expect that from Goldberg. What'd you give it, Patchy?
For what it was, 3.5 stars.
Mike, your thoughts?
I'm with you. It's the best Goldberg match since Lesnar, even though I like the McIntyre match. I feel bad for Bobby Lashley. not because he lost to Goldberg. I kind of have a problem with that because Goldberg's stars are – his legacy's already cemented. Whether he wins, loses, doesn't matter. He still gets paid. Bobby Lashley was just the WWE champion. What kind of credibility does Bobby Lashley now have? You know, so what direction are you going with him? Good match, physical match. Also, once again, if you're going to change up the match, don't do it last minute.
I thought it was no holds barred. And then I was like, oh, it's Dallas County where I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, like they're telling us the rules as we're going along. And I just don't get it.
I guess with this one, Mike, it's not that big of an issue because no holds barred, Falls Count Anywhere, it's not that much of a difference.
No, but we didn't know this was good. I mean, they changed it to no holds barred on Raw.
They changed it to Falls Count Anywhere like a day before the show.
Right. So that's my point, but that is what it is. Fine match, 3.5 stars. It was a train wreck, and that's what it needed to be.
Yeah, it was two hosses just barreling into each other. But this was the We'll get into a match that was the pretty version of that. This was the ugly version of that. But it was entertaining for what it was. Like I said, Goldberg not fighting for a title. Fine. excuse me. I don't care what Goldberg's doing. As long as he's not fighting for a title, I'll take it. I don't think Lashley's really hurt in defeat. It was a no holds barred match. It was false count anywhere. It was basically a fight. It felt like it, you know, it felt like they really tried to hurt each other. Like Goldberg with the, like doing the jackhammer, finally hit a good looking jackhammer for the first time in his life, which thank Christ. Like when he went for the jackhammer, I'm like, oh, he's going to jump on his head, isn't he? He's going to do it. And then it's like, he actually hit it. I'm like, color me surprised. I like the ending spot. The spear off the stage was actually surprising. I didn't expect him to do that. For a 54-year-old Goldberg, that was surprising. Yeah, it's a fine match. It was 3.5 stars. It wasn't bad. It wasn't fantastic, but it was good for what it was.
This match needed more camels.
Every match needed more camels.
That's for damn sure.
Every match use more camels. That's the message of this show. All right. Moving on to the next match, we had the King of the Ring finals as Finn Balor took on Xavier Woods, with Xavier Woods finally achieving his boyhood dream, becoming King of the Ring. This match was, the match wasn't anything spectacular. I think Finn kind of phoned it in. I'm not saying that to be disrespectful to Finn, but I think this was all just to get Xavier Woods over. So I think Finn just kind of like, okay, I'll just make him look good, and that's what we're going to do. But the story carried this match, and Xavier Woods finally achieving his dream and becoming King of the Ring. He said for how long that he's wanted to become King of the Ring. So happy for him. Do something with this. Guys, WrestleMania, New Day, triple threat for the title, please. WWE, if you're listening, please, I want the New Day triple threat at Mania. I want that so much because that's what this needs to lead to.
During the coronation that I texted you guys in our group chat, I was like, okay, A, there was no interruption. B, one of them, whether it was Kofi or Wood, should have turned on the other.
We don't need a turn. We don't need a turn with the New Day. We don't need a turn. It's just a friendly match. At WrestleMania, that's all I want. But for the match, I give it 3.5. Like I said, it was kind of just there to get Xavier Woods the crown. This wasn't like, you know, they went for 15 minutes and blew everyone away. This was short 7-minute match. Finn Balor did what he needed to do. Xavier did what he needed to do. So that's pretty much it. I give it 3.5. Patchy?
I'm going to give it 3.5 sole purpose on commentary because they were talking about if Balor won, he would have been the next Irish person to win King of the Ring. And then Corey Graves says, oh, yeah, I forgot who he said. And then he completely just dissed Sheamus. And
Cole just completely was like, forgot about Sheamus.
He forgot about Sheamus. And Cole was like, you know, Sheamus won King of the Ring. And Graves was like, I need to get better sources.
Yeah, like this guy's giving me this bad information. I'm like, man, this is actually funny commentary. Like, do more of this, guys. Do like funny banter, please. This is what people like. We don't like this robotic. Oh my god, what a maneuver! Xavier Woods wants. It's like it's just. But we'll get into that.
We need Graves and Pat McAfee on commentary together.
Oh my god,
I agree with that. Well, we can say that for. But back to the match itself. My heart was pulling for Balor because I just want Balor to get some credibility back to himself because he hasn't been the same since he lost the Universal title due to injury. But this also finally gives Xavier Woods something. Big E won the WWE title. Kofi won the title at Mania. You know, both Big E and Kofi have singles titles minus the WWE title. They both hold the IC title. Kofi's had the U.S. title. And then Woods just has many tag team titles to his name. This is something different for Woods, and I'm excited to see what Woods does with this. And he needs to drop the S in his name, and he's King Wood.
Yes. First of all, yes. Second, Mike, your thoughts.
I'm with Patchy. You kind of feel bad for Finn because for everything – We talk about how great this is for Woods, and it is great. Where does, like, I feel like Finn's always been lost in the shuffle. when he's on the main roster. It was, he was the Universal Champion. He gets hurt. He comes back. And then what are we doing?
Ever you since know, he got hurt, they've never trusted him again.
And to me, that's not fair.
It was a freak injury.
Right. And you trust, there's so many other people who've had injuries who you trust, but we can't trust Finn Balor, who people are behind, but that's a whole nother conversation. It's great for Woods. It's another accolade given to the New Day. And I think we can look without saying now that they're obviously the greatest faction of this era, the New Day. But they're probably entering that territory of, they're one of the, probably the top 10 greatest factions of all time.
I mean, honestly, I would say my top
maybe even top five.
I would say top five, because I think my top five are like NWO, DX, The Shield.
Yeah, put the Horsemen in there.
Horsemen and probably New Day.
Okay, that's fine.
Evolution, you could make an argument, but like I feel like two of the guys were already established by the time they came together. So
hence Evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Freebirds too, but and Patch is right. For it, he has the WWE title. Kofi won the title. They've won singles titles. This is Woods' crowning achievement, except for being the greatest trombone player who ever lived. This is what he needed. And this is, this gives him the credibility he deserves.
And you know what's so cool is that I listened to an interview with him, and he genuinely said, this isn't like some storyline thing where like, oh, I've always wanted to be King of the Ring. No, I've always wanted to be King of the Ring. I really personally always have wanted to be King of the Ring. Like, this is not, like you said, this is not some like storyline written thing where like, oh, I've always wanted to be King of the Ring. No, this is me personally saying I've always wanted to be King of the Ring. And I think that's what made this thing so much interesting, because you wanted to see him actually do what he wanted to do. He really wanted to be King of the Ring, and now he's King of the Ring. And it's so great to see that. So congrats to Xavier Woods, Rips, New Day Triple Threat. Give me the New Day Triple Threat, please. Speaking of New Day Triple Threat, let's go to the other, one of the other sides of that equation, and that was
the Old Day Triple Threat?
Yes. I'm talking about the WWE Championship match as Big E defeated Drew McIntyre to retain his WWE Championship. Loved, loved, loved this match. This was a pretty hoss fight. These two guys threw everything at each other. Drew, Big E, great. Big E's great. I'll give him, like, he's got all the praise in the world. Drew McIntyre is one of the best guys wrestling right now. He is so good. He can make anybody look good. He can do the small guy matches. He can do the big guy matches. He is so versatile. Please do a Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre feud, and please put the title on Drew again, because this way it would be different from what he did last time. And I want to see him get another title, because he damn well deserves it. Drew is, he's honestly right now one of my top five wrestlers wrestling right now. He's up there. He's so damn good. I love this match. I gave it 4 stars out of 5. I thought this was a really great match. The near falls, that Claymore he hit, oh, you could not hit a better Claymore than what Drew McIntyre did. And it makes Big E look really strong, really cementing his WWE title reign as we speak. I love this match. 4 out of 5 for me. Patchy?
4 out of 5. For Drew McIntyre's standpoint, I say, well, minus what he did on Friday, but I say you find a way to make him go on a losing streak, per se. Might still make him look good. And then you have him start losing other kind of matches where his dreams are now broken. And now you bring back broken dreams, and then he's a heel again.
I actually like his new theme. I like it more than
I don't mind his theme right now, but at this time when he was WWE champion, that's when they should have brought Broken Dreams back, and he's finally the chosen one. That's where I have some beef, because personally I like the Broken Dreams song. But that's my small tangent on Drew McIntyre and how we could bring back Broken Dreams. But for Big E, it's a nice win, even though we're talking about a throwaway pay-per-view, per se. This is still a nice win for Big E, because they put on a clinic for Saudi Arabia. So three and a half stars. Four stars at most.
Mike?
Never pardon the pun. It's a big win for Big E. And I say it's a big win because I think I'm in agreement with you guys. I think everyone should love what Drew's doing. No, you say he's one of your favorites. He might be my favorite currently with what he's doing because he was so good during that Thunder. He was still good during the Thunderdome. And I was like, okay, it has to carry over to the crowd. If it doesn't, he's never going to get the belt back. It's carried over so well that he is forcing them to give him the belt back at some point.
You feel so bad for him because when they first came back, I feel like, remember when he fought Lashley at Mania, he kind of got booed a little bit. Because I think it started to wear thin on a little people, but now that they've gotten him out of the title picture for a little bit, it's getting his momentum back, I think, a little bit. Now that he's moving on to a different show.
And he's out of the spotlight. He doesn't need, you know, he has the sword. Everything's tremendous. And I think this was a great swan song for Drew because really for the Thunderdome, Drew was the face of Raw.
And just really quickly, Mike, that was what made this match so much more interesting because it had an organic story. It was a simple story. Drew telling Big E, you have the WWE Championship. You won it in front of a crowd. I never got that.
Yeah. And that's where I look at Drew and I say, you got to give the belt back to him.
Even if it's for a short reign.
Well, I'd prefer a longer one just because you look, but that's a story for another day. But just to get it back on him, he doesn't even have to be the center of attention to have the belt.
Mm-mm.
Because we're going to talk about the other match in a little bit. But he's so good. Big E deserves this. Big E deserves that long run with the title. Who he goes after next, I don't know. Who goes after him next, I don't know. We can figure that out. Although I have a couple of ideas. This is the start of a good run for Big E, and they need to capitalize on it.
What's your star rating?
I'll go 4.
Okay. Moving on, we had the semi-main event as Becky Lynch defended the SmackDown Women's Championship against both Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks in a triple threat match, with Becky Lynch rolling up Sasha to eventually win and retain the SmackDown Women's Championship. Patchy, your thoughts on this match?
Overall, solid women's match. You know, we knew that Becky was retaining because you're not, not to say you're not going to change titles at not these kinds of pay-per-views, but in this situation where they are.
They never do.
Title, like the one title I was shocked that changed hands and I realized where they were was when they had Super Showdown in Australia and you had Buddy Murphy win.
That was the only time it made sense.
So for what it was, once again, we're going to use these terminologies here. For what it was, I enjoyed the match. Everyone got their spots in. And then Becky wins in heel fashion by throwing the other opponent out, then going for the cover. So in the end of the day, it's a 3.5 star match for me.
Can I say one other quick thing? You brought up Super Showdown in Australia. WWE, please start doing more pay-per-views overseas. Please start doing pay-per-views in London, maybe, you know, Australia. Please start doing more shows over there. It's always
fun. If I remember correctly, there's a rumor going around it's either Survivor Series or SummerSlam next year might be in United Kingdom.
I did hear about that rumor. I'm pretty sure it's SummerSlam.
I think it's SummerSlam might be in the UK next year, if not the following year.
I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
I wouldn't mind it either. 30 years after the 92 SummerSlam was out.
Oh, now I think they're going to do it. Now that makes more sense because they do the whole like 30-year anniversary of that show. This match is fine. It's you know, good women's match. These three are going to really put on a good show. You know what's going to happen. You know, Becky's going to retain. She did her little heel. was really interesting, though, because she didn't really play a heel during most of the match. That was mostly Sasha. And then Becky just kind of does this weird heel thing at the end. I don't know what she is, because a lot of people cheer for her still, and a lot of people boo her. Maybe they're just going to stick with her as a tweener. People who like her, who like her. The people who like her will like her, and the people who don't, don't.
I think the big thing is she was gone for so long that I don't think people want to boo her.
Right, like, but they have a lot of people who do.
Right, but I think people don't like the ego stuff. I think other people are just like, she was gone for so long, I'm cool with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's the real thing.
And I'm cool with her being a tweener. I'm cool with more tweeners being allowed. Like, if you like her, cool. If you don't like boo her. Like, I like that kind of...
I think a lot of people are like that now, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Like, not everybody's MJF, where everybody just thinks you're a douchebag.
Right.
I give it 3.5. It was, you know, fun match. Mike?
I enjoyed this because we know how good Sasha is. We know how good Becky is. But this, I know she's been up for a couple of months. This was a great Bianca Belair match.
Mm-hmm.
She got... when she lifts both of them up, when Becky's got the double disarmer on, and she's on the bottom, like, I mean, she is so immensely talented and crazy strong. It's out of this world how good she can be. You know, Sasha's Sasha, she's great. Becky's Becky, you're right on that. I mean, I don't understand. She was clean most of the match, and then, I have this cover. I'm just going to hook the rope.
Right. But, I mean, came out of nowhere. It's like,
it was random. And I hate Michael Cole yelling something about it becoming no, it's a triple threat. It doesn't matter. It does. The referee's going to tell you to get your hand off the rope anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because
know the rules, bro. Know the rules.
Triple threats, no DQ, no rules. No rules apply.
All the rules apply.
No, they don't. If I grab onto the rope and I'm having a chokehold, I can't break the hold after 5 seconds. I can keep going because it's triple threat rules.
I know, they got.
All right, let's not start having a rules breakdown here on Face Third. You said 3.5, Mike, or
I'll go 3.5, 4. I have no issues with it. It was a good match.
Mm-hmm. It was fairly solid. You know, it's what it was. All right, and on we go to the main event of the night as Roman Reigns defends the Universal Championship against Brock Lesnar. I mean, the face-heel dynamic was right. Finally, Roman's a heel, which is, you know, that's been amazing. It's been what's carrying the company for the last year and a half. Brock as the conquering ass-kicking face. I think that's more, I think that's suited for him way more. Just be a sarcastic guy. Just don't say much and just kick ass when you need to. I will say, I alluded to this earlier, Patchy, when we were talking about the opening match. I'm sick of the Uso interference. Have Roman just win a match on his own. I'm sick of him having, like, you can have a good heel actually win matches. Like, at least the Cena one ended with a definitive finish. He didn't need any Uso interference. But this one, you went right back to the Uso interference, and he lays him out with the belt.
But as soon as they say it's no disqualification, you know what's happening.
Exactly, and that's the problem. And look, I understand this aspect, it makes sense because they have been playing the story of Brock has Roman's number most of the time. So I get in this, but if you just haven't had done it to death before, it would have been made more sense. This was a fine match. They really did try to pull out for this match. I'll give it 3.5. It was good. It wasn't fantastic. I think they're saving, obviously, them. Obviously, what will happen on Friday night as Brock Lesnar did get suspended. They're obviously saving him for, I think, winning the Rumble. I think Brock Lesnar's
winning. Can we dive into that part after this?
Sure. I gave it 3.5. I thought the match was good, not great. Mike, what'd you think?
I thought the best part of the match was the confliction of Paul Heyman. Who do I help? Who do I not help? Do I help Roman? Do I help Brock? Paul Heyman was so conflicted throughout the match. Mm-hmm. I thought that was storytelling. That mm-hmm. that's the best part of it. I'm not just sick of the Usos at this point. I'm kind of sick of Roman, and I'm not sick of him as the character. The character's fine. The character's good enough to this point. He doesn't need the belt.
Mm, you're right.
This character doesn't need the belt anymore. I know why you've kept it on him for this long, and I know why you're going to continue to keep it on him for this long, because you want to break Punk's record, and you're going to have to do it with Roman. That's fine. But sooner rather than later, he's got to drop it. It's not anything against him. It's just holding everyone else back.
He's already broken that record, hasn't he?
I think Punk was 462. He's at like 417, 418, something like that.
Really? Okay.
Because
yeah, I read it. I could have read wrong, but.
Well, Lesnar already broke it because he held the title for what? It was like 568 days or something.
Anyway, back to my point. Well, I guess they would mean for full time because Brock was
part time.
Okay.
Yeah, but for me, it's the character's good. Everything he does is fine. Every feud he's gonna have is meaningful. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need the belt. As soon as he beat Cena, he didn't need the belt anymore because he cemented himself as the new guy.
Right. You know what it is, Mike? It's, you know, remember back in the day when you had back in like the mid-2010s, Cena didn't need the belt. Anytime someone fought Cena, it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's who Roman is now. Anytime anyone fights Roman, it's going to be a big deal.
Exactly. This is your measuring stick match.
Exactly.
You want to fight me? Fight me. Like, this is not a knock on Roman, but remember, Cesaro fought him at Backlash. What has Cesaro really done since?
Not much.
Right. I don't want to use Corbin because I'm also sick of Corbin. Nakamura's the IC champ. We can't go there. Drew just went to SmackDown. Eventually, we're going to get Drew versus Roman. That's set in stone. We could have had Seth and Roman at one point.
I thought that's what we were getting at some point.
Right. We never got it unless they do something with Seth. But this is a fine match. If this is going to write Brock off, and we're going to talk about – I want to talk about that in a minute. But solid 3.5 match. It didn't need the whole no-holds-barred part, mainly because the referee was down when the Usos came out. So it didn't make a difference. Also, how many freaking Brock Lesnar matches have you watched where the referee's not in the way of an F5?
Oh, God. Really? They've done that.
We're going to just put him right behind Brock. So when he slams Roman, he's going to hit him in the head with his leg.
Right. Patchy?
Stop getting the Usos involved. You're saying Roman is the tribal chief. Show the tribal chief doesn't need help from the gang to win a match. I made this point, I think, a couple months ago that, you know, Roman's always having the Usos involved in his match, and then miraculously he faces Cesaro one-on-one, no interference, and he beats Cesaro. And it's like, hey, it's shown that Roman can beat anybody without the help of the Usos. What situation? You kind of ruined a good match.
Mm-hmm.
Ref goes down, okay. And this is the situation where, okay, yes, Heyman threw the Universal title in the middle for Brock and Roman to fight it out, but really have Paul Heyman screw Brock Lesnar like he did.
Pick a side.
Did what you did way back in the early 2000s when you screwed Brock Lesnar and you went and you teamed with Big Show. And that's how that feud ended.
I just want to say something real quick, Patchy. Like, I honestly would be okay if Paul Heyman went back to Brock Lesnar because I think Roman Reigns is so good on the mic right now. He doesn't need Paul Heyman anymore.
Or you throw, Heyman throws the belt in, and they're fighting over the belt. The lights go out, and I don't care who it is, but randomly someone else appears and nails them both with the belt. And that's your new Paul Heyman guy.
Have it be Cesaro.
Have it be Sami Zayn. I don't care. Have it. Here's an idea. Have it be John Morrison. You don't want to do anything with him anyway.
Yeah, but no, I would have liked Paul Heyman to go back with Lesnar because I don't think Roman needs him anymore. He's good enough on his
Brock, own. Brock doesn't need Heyman. Because you know what? Brock can't cut himself a promo. He's been proving that the last few weeks, that Brock can actually cut a decent promo. Mm-hmm. What if this is just it's going to happen most likely. We're getting it at Mania. Brock will win the Rumble most likely.
That's where we're going.
Which I am all for, because you know what? Let me see Brock Lesnar just beat the tar out of 30 people or have him come in number 30.
Mm-hmm.
Or the way they're going to do it is, the only way you get to face me, Brock, is if you run the table and you go number one. And then Brock just goes goes through 2 through 29 and wins the Rumble.
The only reason I wouldn't be okay with that, Badgie, is because they already kind of did that a couple years ago.
But the way you book it is that, you know what, Brock can't really eliminate anybody till like there's like 7 or 8 superstars in the ring. He has to put the talent over and hold his own. And the rest, and you know what? It makes the wrestlers hold their own too. They're not being thrown out in 5 seconds by Brock Lesnar.
Okay, yeah, they're
holding their own,
right?
Because in this situation, Brock Lesnar right now is a face. So you have to, in a sense, you have to have the heel kind of beat down Brock Lesnar a little bit when you have a heel wrestler coming in.
Oh, what'd you give the match, Patchy?
The match itself, unfortunately, Usos kind of ruined this a little bit. I would have given it 5 stars, but with the Usos getting involved, I'm sorry, 4 stars.
All right, yeah. Mike, you wanted to touch on something real quick?
Okay, I wanted to talk on what happened tonight. Okay. So Roman comes out, start the show. He calls out Brock. He says he's not leaving until Brock comes out. Commercial break. Brock eventually comes out. They brawl. Brock beats the crap out of him and the Usos. And he breaks a camera because he throws it at Roman and hits the ring post. Commercial break. We come back. Adam Pearce, who I'll talk about on the next episode, says Brock suspended indefinitely. Brock comes out, F5s him twice. Also, for some reason, ripped his pants. Whole nother conversation. The problem I have is, if you're going to write Brock off, you should just did it last night. Or yeah, you should have just had Roman beat the crap out of have Roman and the Usos beat the crap out of him. Suspending him kind of gives away what we think is the plan for the Rumble, which is Brock's winning the Rumble. He's going to fight Roman again at Mania. And whether he gets the belt or not, that's just the Mania match. So my problem is, Brock should have just never showed up tonight. Let it linger. Have Brock show up at Survivor Series after Roman Big E, which still could happen. I don't know.
Well, see, now I don't know where does The Rock fit into all this?
You know what?
I don't even know what's going on with that.
We're not getting Rock and Roman at Mania. They're going to probably save that for a year and then do Roman and Rock and Mania, I think it'll be 39 in Hollywood.
Again, doesn't need to be for the belt. Roman is good enough. It doesn't have to be for the belt. My thing is this with Brock. If we're going to continue down this path with part-timers in general, they're going to show up when they want to anyway. We don't need the term suspended indefinitely. Because indefinitely can end at any point. B, we know Brock's not going to show up to random places. So forget that as a whole. Just write them off. Just have, after the match, have them shield powerbomb through the announce table or something to write them off. Instead, we do this stupid stuff. And this is why you have some issues. I'm looking at you, Vince McMahon. even though with the money you just made off this show, you're making it rain in the club probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting to see what they're going to do moving forward, because now, like, you've got Brock in this situation. There's still a lot of reports saying that The Rock's going to come back at Survivor Series, but now there's reports saying he might not, which I'm going to be really upset if he doesn't, because that's the whole reason we're going. Anyway.
Survivor Series.
Survivor Series.
What was that, Patchy?
I said, spoiler to the listeners out there, the three of us are going to Survivor
Series. Three of us are going to Survivor Series at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and I really hope The Rock shows up, because that's kind of one of the reasons I wanted to go.
You know what?
But you could say in 2021, you would have been in the Barclays Center more times than Kyrie Irving.
It's very true. That's very, very true.
See, you know what? If The Rock, we're going to talk on this for a minute. If The Rock doesn't show up, I have a firm belief Undertaker's going to show up.
I thought he was showing up at Saudi Arabia.
I thought he was too after the Pitbull thing.
It's kind of funny.
Either you see Adam Pacini's tweet, breaking news, Undertaker will return to the ring. It's Pitbull at Crown Jewel. It'll be the best of a 7 series.
I love that. Because last year, it was Taker's send-off. To me, that wasn't a proper send-off.
Give
us a crowd for a proper Undertaker set-off, and my night will be made.
Here's what I'll say, Patchy. Here's what I think. I think if they get Rock, that's going to be the big thing for Survivor Series, is The Rock returns. I think if they can't get Rock, they'll probably do Undertaker.
In some way, they'll get the Undertaker involved.
I think they'll do something along those lines. I hope. If I get Taker, I'm fine with that. I would love to see The Rock.
If I get Taker, I might go caca in my pants.
You know what? No, forget everything. You know what? You guys still owe me from Mania a couple of years ago. Give me a 3-hour Elias concert.
Stop with your Elias. Is he even the company anymore? I don't know if he is.
He is.
He is somehow. I don't know what he's doing, but anyway. All right.
That bogus interpreter Rick Boogs tried to steal his spotlight.
He did it though. All right, well, that is gonna do it for our review of WWE Crown Jewel 2021. Like we said, make sure to check out our next episode. Check this one out too, but make sure to follow us for our next episode. It's gonna be a good one. We're gonna put a lot of time, not that we don't put a lot of time after all of it, but this one's been building for a little bit, because that's kind of the reason we've been gone for a little bit. I'm not gonna tell you what it is, but there's a reason we've been gone for a little bit, because we've been planning and sort of getting together for this episode coming up next.
And also, granted, we've been gone for a little bit, but we're gonna work on that and make sure that we're here a little bit more often.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because life gets in the way sometimes.
Yeah.
Because the three of us, we do a bunch of other podcasts here on the Sports Insanity Network. And unfortunately, the last pay-per-view that happened before Crown Jewel, we just drew a complete blank dud on.
Yeah.
And we missed it. And you know what? To per se, we dropped the ball with that one, and that's on us.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what?
To be fair, Patchy, it wasn't that good of a show.
It wasn't, but you know what? It could at least had just a, you know, we could have done at least, hey, this is what we thought. Didn't need a pre-show for it, but you know what? Hey, shit happens.
Yeah, stuff happens. But that's going to do it for this episode of SIN's Face Turn Podcast. Check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Check out www.thesportsinsanitynetwork.com to check out all of our other podcasts and our blog posts. Thank you guys so much for listening. For Lawrence Patchman Lang and the Pun Master Mike Rifkin, I'm Noah Trombley. We'll check you guys out next time.